All right, we welcome you in. Believe it or not, the last day of February. It was, as we say, good morning. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi hanging out at the Borgata off the Jersey Shore. Good morning, my man. How are you?
I'm great, Patrick. How are you today? Happy great. Sunday. Happy the end of February. I mean, the cold, the dark ages. You know, when I went to Valley Forge Military Academy, the end of February was the end of the dark ages. So here we go. We can get to March. Baseball, you know, spring, it's all good, right?
Has a weird way, February, of feeling like the longest month, yet it's the shortest, right? Because of the weather, we're done with the Super Bowl, we're done with football. We start to transition a little bit into spring, hopefully coming sooner than later.
The football element is the hardest part, right? You know, and last year we had that spring league, which looked like it had a chance to do something until they forgot to make sure they had the money in the accounts to pay for it, which, you know, is a minor detail that I guess they've overlooked, you know. But it's good to be back. It's good to see. How about my Razorbacks yesterday, Patrick, huh?
How about that? How about your boy Muss, huh? He keeps it going.
The Muss bus. We're on it. We're rolling.
He keeps it going. And you know what? We had a big one. You know, Baylor just hasn't looked right, Michael, and we'll get into all of this as we welcome you in on a Sunday. Hope you're all well. But Baylor, off that break, again, COVID, I'm telling you, it's about 43% when teams are 14 or plus. Now, Baylor, who, again, they beat Iowa State coming back from the long break,
barely.
But they couldn't hit a bucket. It was 77-72 over a bad Iowa State team. And then last night, number two, Baylor goes down 17 Kansas, 71-58. That's the lowest point total for a Baylor team all season, who was the best scoring team in basketball. And Scott Drew said, look, the layoff has killed us. We can't find our rhythm. It's been our kryptonite.
You know, I think this is good for college basketball, because what we were seeing earlier was the dominance of Gonzaga and Baylor. There were the two teams, and then there was this huge gap. Now, this morning, KenPom has Michigan as the number two team in the country, deservingly so.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we've kind of got that gap closing a little bit, and some of these other teams are starting to play better. You know, Kentucky, Florida played well yesterday. Gators for Josh Applebaum, they closed that game out. They were able to win that game in Rupp Arena, so that was a big win for them. I think that the field, it looks like it's going to be Gonzaga, but now Baylor looks vulnerable. Michigan looks tremendous. So it'll be fun to fill out your brackets once we get going here. I think that's what we needed, a little bit more of cluster than we needed dominance.
Yeah, and here comes Kansas. You know, one of the
right.
If you're talking about conferences, it's Big 12 and Big 10 this year. In Kansas, they won 6 of 7, playing as well as anybody right now in the Big 12.
No doubt. And, you know, you get Kansas in there. I mean, Oklahoma State, that was a fun game to watch.
North Carolina
puts 40. North Carolina, you know, I looked at the score. They were down. By the way, Roy Williams with some great sneaks yesterday. The Jordans on the side with the light blue. Got to get a pair of those, Patrick. Yeah, I mean, you know, got to get a pair of those. But I thought it was, you know, it was an interesting day in terms of college basketball. You know, Indiana disappointing without their point guard. That certainly hurt. But, you know, at first half, LSU gave Arkansas all they could handle, and they were in the lead, and then Arkansas took over and dominated the second half. I mean, some of the shot selections by LSU, I just was shaking my head. Like, seriously, this is what we're going to do? We're going to launch this from about 10 feet past the three-point line? But, you know, I think Arkansas, there's some teams that are peaking at the right time.
Come back to you, Michael Lombardi. It is the Lombardi Line. Thrilled to be here for the next 2 hours. Action update, Mike Sinnott.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Nearer to the All-Star break in the NBA season, the odds to win the Atlantic Division belong to the Brooklyn Nets at minus 200, Philadelphia plus 190, Toronto plus 2,000. The Central Division, Milwaukee minus 2,500, Indiana plus 850, the Chicago Bulls plus 3,300. The Dallas Mavericks are the favorites to win the Southwest Division at minus 130, San Antonio plus 260, New Orleans plus 700. The Northwest Division, the Utah Jazz minus 5,000, Denver plus 1,400, Portland plus 1,600. The Pacific Division, the Clippers are favored there, minus 130. The Lakers, plus 140. Phoenix Suns at plus 800. The Southeast Division, the Miami Heat, the defending Eastern Conference champs, minus 185. Atlanta, plus 375. The favorites to win the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn plus 125, Milwaukee plus 330, Philadelphia plus 550. The West, the Lakers plus 140, Clippers plus 280, the Jazz at plus 350. The Lakers are the favorites to win it all at plus 280.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
You want to get your dog on TV? It's a new segment here on the Lombardi Line. Dog of the day. You got to send in a pic of your dog at VSiN Live, but also make sure you put your pick there. We're looking for underdogs, so make sure you get them in. You see it right there already. A bunch of pictures coming in as we spread the love. Who doesn't love dogs? I see some cats in the mix. I don't know if Michael Lombardi is a cat man, but I saw some cats popping up in the mix, which could also be dangerous at times.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like all animals, so I'm not opposed to any of them. So my daughter-in-law, she has a cat, so that's always interesting when the cat comes and stays with us in the summer and the two dogs want to run up there and eat cat food. That's not always my most interesting part of the summer, but I love it. It's all good. You know, I love the dog pictures. Who doesn't love dog pictures? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you'd have to be a psychopath not to love a couple of dog picks. So we'll throw those up there at VSiN Live. Remember, get your picks in. I guess I mentioned dog, and I didn't mean it as a simile here, but how about the 76ers? Should we talk about it?
Thank you, Patrick. I think we should have a discussion about what you do to the team. You know, the 10-point. I mean, this team's not 10 points better than anybody. I mean, last night that wasn't –
close
to
11.5.
Simmons was great. I mean, I thought the thing would go over. It went to overtime and didn't go over. I mean, they couldn't shoot. I mean, Steph Curry was just absolutely couldn't throw it in the ocean if he tried, you know. And they have no bench. And so when you lose Tobias Harris and now they're down, they put Furkan in there. At least I said his first name correctly.
There you go.
They put him in there. You know, now all of a sudden then they started the second half with Mike Scott. It just – to me, this is a team that has that still has question marks in terms of their depth. And, you know, it's one of those days. I mean, look, the Nets went and laid an egg against the Mavericks. And understandable, Kyrie Irving didn't play. But still, you know, the Mavs the night before didn't play. So I think in the underlying part of the Sixers is really how good Simmons is playing this year, how good he did defensively, especially on Luka the two nights ago. But, you know, when you don't beat the Cavs on your own court and the Cavs are 2-0 against you in the series, on the season, it tells me your team's not good.
Well, you mentioned it, Michael. They ended up closing the 76ers 11.5. 220.5 came down a little bit. The Cavs, a straight-up winner on the wood there, 112-109 in overtime. Now, here's the issue, and you astutely been pointing this out as far as the lack of depth. Listen, Embiid goes 42-13. Simmons goes 24. That's it, though. That's it. No, yeah, Tobias Harris nothing. With the bruised knee.
They couldn't throw it. They can't throw it in the ocean. I mean, they talk about all these great shooters they have. I mean, Danny Green is not the same Danny Green that we've known from before. You know, and really, since COVID and since the beginning of the season, Curry hasn't been the same player. And so they don't really have anybody who can generate any offense when they go to their subs. And when they lose a starter, then it's really problematic. And Tobias Harris didn't start. So Morey's going to have to make a trade. I mean, he's going to have to ramp it up, or else this team is going to be, you know, it's going to be disappointing based on where they are. And they're going to waste the talents of two of their best players.
You know, I turned it on and I saw your boy limping in the first quarter. He's a treat to watch. I can't imagine.
Every time he gets hurt, I think he's never coming back again. You know, I think he's never coming back again, and he does. So, look, I can't complain. He's playing as well as he could play.
Yeah.
But, you know, two dominant players should not lose to Cleveland and not have Sexton and Garland go off and just really, you know, they never got control of the game. And it's you could say, well, it's the NBA. Yeah, it is the NBA. I mean, the NBA is the most unpredictable league you can in terms of handicap. But if anybody has a way of really nailing this down, God bless you, because it's hard to predict, especially when you think of a team who's supposed to be so dominant like the Sixers. They had a rest. You know, they're playing at home against a team that beat them earlier in the season, beat them badly earlier in the season in Cleveland. You have a little bit of revenge. You want to show you're a good team, and yet you go and lay a big egg.
Of course, when I say Michael's boy, I mean Joel Embiid, who's in the MVP conversation, but he was flopping like a fish yesterday too, my man. I mean,
I keep forgetting to post the over and unders on the floppers. I keep forgetting that. I got to start doing that. I got to remember to do that.
He is theatrical is a great way of putting it. We'll have JBT on to talk a little association coming up in just a bit. Thomas Gable, Josh Applebaum, our regular Sunday boys coming through. You shook
Thomas
head.
Gable's ready to go today too. He's been scouring this line. He's got his Des Moines picks ready
good.
To go. So
we got everybody
in line on these small school picks. I think that they're starting to understand the value that you can gain in those areas.
Let's, as we do, Michael, as we're one to do, let's just scour the board last night and then we'll move forward. Again, I'll run it quickly here. The Wizards are legit. I mean, there's really we thought that number felt short, right? They ended up closing four hosting Minnesota. Minnesota, a new coach. I get it. Cat's back. But it's a 128-112 win. The Wiz, that goes over the posted total of 238.
I want to ask JVT, if the Wizards are posting the Sixers, let's say next Tuesday, what's that line? Because I'm taking the Wizards in that game.
If they're hosting the Sixers?
Yep, I'm taking this. Whatever that line is, I'm taking the Wizards.
76ers would be 2.5.
I'll take the Wizards. I'll take the Wizards.
Yeah,
take the Wizards.
I think you might be right. They're playing very well. Russ, again, he does feel – it's so weird with certain athletes. I'm sure you've scouted some where it's just like they felt forever young. Russell Westbrook, the first time I saw him in person, I said, oh, my God, this is the craziest athlete I've ever seen. He always feels forever young. So the idea of him taking a step back athletically, it did feel like he had lost a step early in the year. But I'm watching him last night. He hasn't missed much. He looked good in that game. They're starting to really play better as a team, this Wizards team that obviously doesn't know each other all that well at this point.
I mean, look, he didn't shoot great last night. He's 7-for-19, but he has a triple-double. He gets 14 rebounds, 12 assists. I mean, that's pretty impressive for him. And, you know, and Bertrand's played again last night. He puts 19 on the bench for them. At least when they go to their bench, Washington, they have some people that can actually put the ball
right
in the basket. When Philly goes to their bench, it's a joke. It's a complete comedy. I mean, Shake Milton can do it at times, but he's really their only offensive weapon. And Curry as a scorer and Green in the starting lineup, they're just not shooting well. They're in one of those slumps that have lasted. And Washington right now, they've got their rhythm going. And they're shooting. I mean, they shot 39% from the three-point line last night. I mean, they can score. And they're playing much better on defense. They held their opponent to 31% on three-point shots. So, look, you know, I know that their record wouldn't be the same. But I'm telling you, if that line comes out and Washington's playing Philly, I'm taking Washington every time. Philly won't beat them.
Spurs won at home as dogs, 2-point dog hosting New Orleans. New Orleans gets a lot of respect for a team that's under 500 now, five games under 500. And again, the Spurs, one trend to watch for with the Spurs is they've been a tremendous first quarter team this year. It's been crazy. And again, they win a first quarter yesterday. But a 117-114 winner, young players playing well. This is obviously Popovich is what he does here, Michael.
You know, and earlier in the day, this is why I think it's really critical to pay attention before you turn a bet in today on NBA. Please, I urge you to wait until you know who's actually going to play in the game. Earlier in the day, I saw on my chart DeRozan wasn't going to play. He played 38 minutes last night. You know, he had 32 points. So obviously that information that I got across my screen was wrong. He played. And yeah, I mean, look, you know, he's got Aldridge coming off the bench. I mean, Pop has done a good job of kind of reconfiguring his team. You know, they held the Pelicans to 28% from the three-point line last night. So, you know, I think they're playing as well as they can play. He's back to coaching what he does and feeling comfortable. You got to respect their team. You really do. And the Pelicans, to me, I just think they're so inconsistent. I think the line with them is every game you have to measure that line because you're just never sure. You're just never sure where it is, you know. And last night, my man got to the three-point line. I mean, the free throw line. Williamson, Zion got there 11 times, which is what he needs to do every game.
100%. You mentioned it. Look, the DeRozan news was huge. I think that would have been a difference maker as far as the Pelicans closing a favorite there. They closed two. Spurs, remember, write this down at home. Track them first quarter. They've been tremendous, that being the Spurs. The Jazz, what you like to see from a good team, and they are a great team this year, is the Jazz is a quick bounce back. They lose in Miami. They go second half back-to-back in Orlando. close 9.5, actually close 10 here, Michael, and cover 124-109, pardon me, at the Magic. That goes over the posted total at 221.
Yeah, the one thing that I think that's where I have a problem with Philly. The Magic, the Jazz have that killer instinct in them.
They do.
They have that mental toughness that they're going to bounce back. They're not going to let their season slip away. They're going to keep continuing to get better. Whereas the Sixers have that kind of entitlement. They seem, you know, when they let Cleveland come in and beat them in their own court, I mean, seriously, Cleveland's 1-for-9 the last 10 games. You know, we talked about it. And it's just disappointing. But I think the Jazz have that mental toughness that you need to endure through it.
I 100% agree. How about the Knicks? Do you want to break up the Knicks? Are we at that point yet?
Because look, I tell you, everybody talks about the Sixers dominating the East, you know, and the Knicks and the Wizards would give the Sixers serious problems. I mean, I'm just telling you, they're going to give them serious problems, you know. And if they don't get a bench, they're going to have a hard time beating some of these teams. The Knicks are improved. There's no denying it. I mean, the Knicks are improved. And, you know, you could say what you want about, well, he traded for Rose. He's going to impact. It hurts their team. No, I mean, Tom's trying to build a culture within the building, and he's trying to get winning. And you can see the net results of his efforts. And the players are responding. They want to win, too. You know, so I think that's the case. I mean, look, that's a big win against the Pacers. I think the Pacers had lost the night before. They were playing for something, and all of a sudden they come back in there and they win this one.
Super respectable, 17-17, so they get back to .500. They're 19-15 ATS, the Knicks on the year. They close one, hosting the Pacers. A lot of respect for a Pacer team that hasn't been playing well. Julius Randle, who's an all-star, 28-10. He's been awesome this year.
He really has. I mean, he really has been great. I mean, and you know, when you add him and Barrett's played much better. I mean, their first round pick top, and he only played 6 minutes last night. Kenny Knox got 2 minutes in the game. So, you know, Alec Burke, the kid they got from the 76ers, he can come in, he can score points. He was only 2-for-5 from the field last night. But Quigley is another one. I mean, that was a great draft pick. I think you got to give the Knicks front office some credit for what they've done, the Thibodeau hire and putting these pieces together.
Well, it came to an end, that being our Thunder run, the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, Jokic had a triple-double. Murray continued his hot streak, and they closed 6.5, an easy blowout here for the Nuggets at OKC, 126-96. I'm hearing.
I mean, how do you – you know, when you start sitting there, I mean, that's such a hard thing to do, the Thunder. You know, when we think they're – you know, between the Thunder and the Nuggets, is there any more unpredictability that you could possibly have?
The Nuggets –
I mean, those two teams – the Nuggets, I never get a handle on the Nuggets. I mean, seriously, I can't get a read on them for anything, you know. And they're playing on the road in OKC. You think OKC's, you know, we like them as a dog. They're a dog, and yet they low down, lay an egg. I mean, Horford had the night off the night before. He comes in, he goes 3-for-11 from the field for 6 points. And to me, Alexander, they held him to 13 points. And the Nuggets hold Alexander to 13 points. You're going to win the game. So, you know, when I look at all these other teams compared to, like, Philadelphia, which I always do because I'm a Philly fan, these other teams have bench. Philly's guys never score any points. There's never any plus minus on the when they go to their bench.
I'm glad you brought up the Nuggets. They've been an over team this year as well. Again, I constantly harp on it, but Malone to me is a good defensive coach. Now they did hold the Thunder to 96, but you look at them. They're 21-11-1 to the over this year. They got to play better defense, and they did last night. They did.
They did when they. I mean, they hold. I mean, Oklahoma shoots 47 threes and they only make 11. You know, I mean, so you're running to either it was a bad shooting night or you're playing better defense.
Your boy Kyrie was out. Now,
a good one
you mentioned as far as DeRozan, Porzingis was another one. Porzingis was thought to sit last night. He ends up playing, comes back from injury. He drops 18. Luka scored 27. And the Mavs, you saw that number jump into the Mavs. If you see an extreme movement like that late, you got to go straight to the injury report. And you saw the Mavs close one. Obviously, no Kyrie, no KD. And it's a straight up win for the Mavericks, who have been disappointing up and down, 115-98 at the Nets here.
Yeah, and you know, what happens is, I think what we're talking about that game between 10 and 12 Eastern time, 7 and 9 your time out there. We didn't know Kyrie was not playing. So we were talking about that game. We're talking about the over, you know. And so Kyrie doesn't play, and the Frenchman TLC comes in, and he goes 2-for-12 from the field, you know. And so this is a perfect example of what happens in the NBA, Patrick, is some guys like to me, it happens with Curry at Philly. They're good for playing certain minutes. But when they get extended minutes and they play 24 when they should be playing 12, their weaknesses and their liabilities start to show up. And so I think that's what's happened is when you can play certain players X amount of minutes, they're much better. And I think last night the Nets just didn't have enough depth. I mean, let's face it. I mean, Harden has to carry the team. He shoots, he gets 29 points, and then he doesn't get any help from Harris. Harris doesn't shoot as typically as well as he does. And the Frenchman doesn't make any shots at all, and all of a sudden they lose.
You know, that's a lot of work that Luke has got to do, though. Again, it's a 16-16 team. He may have to get with your boy Mac Jones, and they could hit the gym together. Is Luka going to play himself into shape this year? Because it just looks like he's never quite in shape, although he's amazing. He's got to get in shape here.
He's really so talented. I mean, if he fixed his body, he would be unbelievable, right?
He is so talented. In fact, I think it was maybe Harden who compared him to Larry Bird after the game, which is it's pretty high praise.
Yeah, but I mean, geez, Larry does it every night. Larry wouldn't have, you know. Ooh.
And it's deserved.
Need to watch Bird a little bit more. Like Bird, that whole Magic Bird era, oh my gosh.
There was two guys when I was growing up in the watching the Pistons, Kareem with the skyhook and Bird. Scared the hell out of you. Every time, scared you. We come back, we continue. Nothing scary here. We got dogs coming in at VSiN Live on Twitter. It's a big Sunday right here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. We get to it next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Basketball, hockey, got everything. College hoops, BetMGM, Sports Nevada, premier sports betting app. Make sure you get into it because you get all your favorite wagering options. You go in-game, boosted odds, specials, much more. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Bring your state-issued ID. You're going to be betting within minutes, okay? Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. Physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Our buddy Will Hill is going to be joining as well. I neglected to mention Will. We just got a great picture of Will's puppy there, Michael Lombardi. So we'll throw him up at VSiN Live. It's a dog day Sunday here on the Lombardi Line. Get your dogs in. Remember, when you send a picture of the puppy, make sure you send your favorite dog of the day, which is important there, Michael.
No doubt.
And the dog's name, Stephanie just told me. Make sure you send the name.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We don't want to be rude and not call the dog its proper name. I mean, come on now.
We can't. It's almost like every single time I say, wait, I always get nervous. Girl or boy, how is he? I say it, and then it turns into a bad thing because I say it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not easy to tell, right? So, you know.
Hey, flip it over real quick so I can get a good look.
There we go.
Hey,
there we go.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to mention a couple. So the Bucks are hosting the Clippers early your time, 3:30 your time. And this is big for the Bucks because Drew Holiday's coming back after a 10-game absence where the Bucks went 5-5 without Holiday. Everything slipped without Holiday. Remember the big offseason addition for them. And this is, you know, I wonder, speaking of dogs, maybe the wrong team's a dog here. So let's take a look at the number here, Michael. Right now, where are you? I've got the Bucks a 1.5-point favorite. The Clippers are healthy. I mean, and again, completely healthy. They're 17-5 with George and Kawhi in the lineup this year. This is a very good game.
Yeah, I mean, look, the game opened up and it's getting heavily bet. I mean, there's a ton of tickets already put in on this game. It opened up 1.5. It hasn't moved. The line started at 237. That's what it opened. And it's taken a dramatic turn to the under. It's now down to 233.5 there. We have it there. I see some 234s out there, which is interesting. With Holiday coming back, is that why the Bucks are favored? I don't know, but the Clippers are getting all the money. they're getting all the money. 9% of the money that's come in on those 3,000 tickets that I have are coming in on the Clippers. So there's a lot of steam coming in there on them, and we'll see if it holds up. Because the Clippers, you talk about a team that, you know, numerically, when you look at them, their e-field goal percentage, everything about them is good, but there's some moments where they just don't play as effectively as you think they might. And, you know, they have these moments, they have these lapses that you're not quite sure where they are. And then I think for the Bucks, I mean, look, the Bucks defensively have a lot to be they have a lot to explain. They give up 112 a game, almost 12.
Yeah, the defense hasn't been the same. Good point.
They have not been the same, you know, and they're 16-17 against the spread when we look at them. And at home, you know, they're just 10-7 against the spread. So you think, oh, they're playing at home, it should be a lot better. But, you know, when you see it, the Clippers, the last 10 games, they're 7-3. And on the road, they're 3-1. Against the spread, they're 2-2 against the spread on the road. So, you know, when you break them down as they are in the last 10 games, they're 7-3. Whereas the Bucks, last 10, they're 5-5. You know, and they make most of their 8-0 against the division. So when they go out of the division, when they play the West, they're 8-6. When they play the West at home, they're 5-4 against the spread.
Clip low-key, kind of under the radar. Again, they're 24-11, second in the West, behind only the Jazz. The conversation in the West is, of course, what, Michael? The Lakers and the Jazz. But as far as offensive rating, the Clippers are only behind the Nets this year. They rank first in the NBA in three-point shooting and free throw percentage. The Clippers are a very good team. I think the wrong team might be favored here with the Bucks laying a point and a half. Just getting Holiday back and a little bit of an adjustment. And again, the Bucks just aren't defending, as you astutely mentioned. Another one.
It'll be interesting to see what Holiday looks like as he comes back from the COVID and how he plays and fits in. And I just don't think that they're defensively, they're going to be in tune. They don't put the fear in me that some of the, like the Miami Heat, I think they're starting to play better and get better. The Bucks, they don't put, I know they have Giannis and I know they have Holiday and I've got Middleton and they've got good players, but they don't put the fear in me that I think they're going to just dominate the East like most people might suspect based on their team.
Last time out, the Bulls didn't help us out as dogs. However, they're going to be dogs down in Toronto today. I will say this, a very important note, Michael, no Siakam for the Raptors. He's going to be out past the All-Star break. This is huge for them. 4.5 opener down to 4 at a couple of books.
You know, we always like the Bulls as a dog, especially when they played such a bad game the night before.
Yep, 100%. Phoenix came to town a couple of nights ago and beat up on the Bulls. Bulls catching 4.5. No Siakam for Toronto, who continues to deal also with COVID issues with their coaching staff. Coming back, Will Hill joins us right here. Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN. It's the Sports Betting Network. Got you covered here at VSiN. Here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to give you free bets throughout the day, and it's all included in this package I'm telling you about right now. But the most important thing here is you get everything from the best handicappers in the business, also the tools to help you become a smarter better. So you get Point Spread Weekly every Wednesday. That helps you. That's the guide. Power rankings, obviously, to help you. Those are the resources. This goes through March Madness. So through March Madness for $49.99, you can't get better than that. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Will Hill joins us, of course, a Point Spread Weekly contributor. I think we're going to throw up a picture of his pup. We're trying to figure out the name, the sex. I don't want to mess it up. Will, how you doing? As we welcome you back, there's Michael Lombardi. There's Will Hill. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Anytime, like you guys said, anytime you flip that calendar to March, that means, you know, conference tournaments, March Madness, baseball, NFL draft, NFL offseason. It's right around the corner. So anytime you can get past February, it's a good day.
100%. It is association. We've got a ton to get to. 9 today. We'll start with the game we just discussed. You like the Bucks today, laying a point and a half hosting the Clip.
Yeah, it's funny. This time a year ago, I think a lot of people thought that this would be the finals come June. Who knew that the finals wouldn't be played in June? They'd be played in October, and neither one of these teams would make it past the second round. I like the Bucks here. I think getting Holiday back is huge. It's another guy. It gives him a third elite defender. You know, he could play off the ball. He could handle the ball. They've had a hard time getting stops, but I think between Giannis, Middleton, and now getting Holiday back, if there's one team that's going to beat the Nets and we have to favor the Nets in the East, it's unfortunately not going to be our Sixers, Lombardi. It's probably going to be the Bucks because they have enough juice on offense and they've got enough versatility on defense. So I'll take the Bucks here. I think the Clippers, you know, early start for them out East, you know, noon start Pacific time. So I'll take the Bucks here. It's a little shaky with Holiday just coming back from COVID, but I'm going to take Milwaukee here laying the point.
You sold on Milwaukee's defense, Will? Do you think they, you know, giving up 112 and a half a night, you know, are you sold that they're going to be able to, the Lakers, I mean, the Clippers can score. Is this an anti-Clipper play from you, or is this are you really sold on the Bucks defense today?
I don't think the Bucks can do anything between now and the playoffs for us to trust them. The way they've melted down the last 2 years, I think it's going to be hard for us to regain their trust of them. But I do like, you know, the three. That's an under-the-radar big three. I mean, they gave up enough picks for Holiday. They gave up 9 million first-round picks for him. But between Holiday, Middleton, Giannis, you know, they could switch. They could defend. I think that third guy is really the key.
We're going to ride the Wizards wave into Boston. I love this play. You like the Wiz tonight.
Yeah, I was on with you guys right before the season, and we talked about the bubble fatigue, fading these teams that were in the bubble the longest. And look, the Celtics and the Heat played each other in the conference finals 6 months ago. The Knicks have a better record than both of them right now. So these teams, they've played a lot of games in a short period of time. I think this is the 19th game in 30 days for the Celtics. You know, they've got four good players, and none of them are really healthy. Tatum's been very vocal that, you know, he had COVID, and he's had a hard time getting back physically. Brown is questionable. Smart's out. Kemba's been in and out. You know, he doesn't look like the same player. And the Wizards, they've kind of morphed into the team we thought they would be, which is, you know, not a contender, but a solid playoff team. Not saying they'll beat anybody, but when they get there. But with Beal and Westbrook, I mean, that's two of the top, 25, 30 players in the league. Bertans gives them a little juice off the bench. That's a pretty good team, and they played really well lately. I mean, beat Denver twice.
You know what's funny? When you break the – Well, when you break this game down, you know what's funny is that Washington, they've played head-to-head the last 10 times, 5-5. Both teams are 5-5, right? Against the spread, Washington's 4-5-1, Boston's 5-4-1. You know, over and under, they're both 5-5. I mean, the numbers, they both average 110 points against each other. They both shoot 54%. I mean, it's really kind of remarkable how similar these two teams have played the last 10 games. So I'm with you. If you get a chance to get six and you know the teams are kind of evenly matched based on the last 10 instances, why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah, it's funny. 2 weeks ago, they played, and we were texting because the Wizards were beating them by a million points, and we're like, wow, what a fluke this is. They're beating up on the Celtics. It's turned out, you know, that was kind of the turning point for the Wizards, and it wasn't such a fluke. They played great since, and the Celtics have been, been really up and down.
Good little spot here for the Suns. They come in rested off the blowout of Chicago in Chicago 2 nights ago. Minnesota turns around. They played last night in Washington. They head back home. The Suns are laying 10.5.
Yeah, that was a lucky cover the other night for the Suns. They were laying 5.5, and they were losing most of the game, and they end up winning by 9. I like the Suns here. I think they're a good team. I think they're a reliable team. And this is more anti-Minnesota. Minnesota's 7-27. But I think as the calendar flips to March, a key thing to remember with them, they don't own their first-round pick unless it's top three. So I think they're going to, sooner or later, if they're smart, they're going to go into tank mode. I mean, they really need to keep that pick. They included that pick in the Wiggins deal. You know, they had to have D'Angelo Russell. Towns really wanted to play with D'Angelo Russell. How's that working out? So I think Minnesota, some of these bad teams, you got to be careful backing them as we get to the second half of the year because a lot of these teams are heavily incentivized to lose, and I'm looking for the Suns here.
I like the Suns. I really do. Do you think the Suns can really compete for the West? I mean, do you think they have enough to compete there?
I think they can win a round. I think probably stretching it to win a second round. You know, if they're going to get to the conference finals, that means either beating Utah or beating one of the LA teams. I mean, if Davis isn't healthy, who knows? The Jazz, you know, as good as the Jazz have been, they do struggle to cover wings. I mean, you have to favor the Jazz with how good they've been. I think it's unlikely, but it's not impossible. I don't know what their number is to win the West. I think it's like 20-1. That's not a terrible play because, look, upsets happen, injuries happen. I like the Suns. I think they'll get in, and I think they'll win one round. You know, maybe they go to 6 or 7 in round 2. This is a good team.
Okay, breaking news here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Bulls and Raptors have been postponed. The Raptors don't have enough. I just mentioned before we went to break that the coaches had COVID, not enough to suit up to play. Bulls, Raptors postponed. Knicks, you like the Knicks. They're in Detroit. The Knicks open one. For some reason, Will, this number split the other way. The Pistons are now laying a point.
Yeah, I like the Knicks. I think we know what we're getting with the Knicks. They play hard. They play good on defense. They can't really shoot, but they kind of take care of business against the teams they're supposed to beat. I mean, Thibodeau's done a really good job of turning that culture around. Randall's played tremendous. You know, the Pistons, they're another team, speaking of lottery balls. You know, once you get to this late in the season and your record is what it is, it's a really good draft. So I think a lot of these teams, not that they're going to tank on the court, but you're going to see some strange lineups. And, you know, you saw it the other night. Dennis Smith and Josh Jackson closed out a game together. It was a little weird. So I'm going to take the Knicks here. I kind of trust the Knicks. You know, it's weird to say it out loud, the four-seeded Knicks. That's really one of the most bizarre things you could ever say. But it's true. They played pretty well.
Let me ask you this question. If the Wizards were playing the Sixers next Wednesday night in Washington, what would the line be and who would you take?
It's in Washington, Sixers by 2.
I said 2.5. We were both right. Yep, you were both right around.
And what, who would you take, man. Will?
I would take the Wizards. I would take.
There
the
you
Wizards.
Go. Thank you very much.
Well, we're riding the Wiz wave right now. You want to get your plug in?
VSiN.com/subscriber. We getting a picture of my man, O. Henry?
Yeah, where's O. Henry? We're going to throw up O. Henry. We've got a ton of dogs picks coming in right now. O. Henry is the backer of the There's O. Henry
there.
Washington Wizards is the dog for Will Hill. He's the best point spread weekly. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Will. Great job.
See you guys.
Great job, Will. Coming back with Josh Applebaum, of course, our buddy Market Insights next. Okay, new BetMGM customers, you have a chance to win $100 tonight, paid for in free bets. The Buckers, the Bucks Clippers use the bonus code VSIN100. If they hit a three, either team, you win $100. It's free. It's BetMGM.com for more details. Must be 21 years or older. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. Got a gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 in Michigan, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, and 1-800-9 with it in Indiana. Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789. It's the Lombardi Line on a Sunday as we welcome you in. Hope you're having a good day. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios to South Point right behind me. Michael Lombardi hanging out at the Borgata. Here comes Josh Applebaum. Market Insights is the pod. It's absolutely free. It's VSiN.com/podcasts. The Everything Guide to Sports Betting. He's an author, just like Michael Lombardi. We say, good morning, Josh. What's up, man?
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. And I tell you what, guys, pretty good day for some Prevalone and college hoops yesterday. We got more games to come, but just a few that we talked about yesterday. Kansas, remember they're getting that movement +5 down to +4-ish. They even touched 3.5. Good hazmat suit if you put on the suit for Kansas. Texas Tech, remember we talked about them, you know, against Texas. Seemed like you got to grab the points, but there was that reverse line move, fade the trendy dog toward Texas Tech. They ended up covering -3 up to -4. Arkansas laying the wood, Michael Lombardi. I know you like that one. That was another one where you saw that movement toward the favorite, even though it was kind of somewhat of an even ticket split. And then also our Florida Gators, guys. Our Gators were chomping there, which was a nice hit. And the only thing is, guys, tell me never to bet Wisconsin again. I feel like I've lost like 5 straight Wisconsin bets. I don't know what it is. They keep getting sharp money. They're not coming through. But overall, good day with some Prevalone and Des Moines money in college hoops.
Hey, speaking of Muss, maybe Stephanie can find it. Coach Musselman got a brand new dog yesterday. Fits in with our theme today, the Muss Bus. Hey, Josh, just a reminder, don't bet Wisconsin again.
Thank you.
And just want to let you know I got your back. Anything we're looking at, good job for you updating us. It looks like the Bulls and Raptors are postponed. Anything NBA-wise you're taking a look at here?
Yeah, so Bulls Raptors postponed. Looks like there were some COVID tests. They're doing contact tracing. They don't have enough requisite players. They need at least 8 players to play an NBA game that are healthy, and they don't have that with the Raptors. So that game was postponed. One that caught my eye a little bit was looking at the Warriors. The Warriors are at the Lakers here. If you guys are interested in grabbing some points here, it is a dog day, so keep sending those tweets to @VSinLive with your favorite dog. But the Warriors are taking in some money. You know, this is a big public Lakers play. You really saw the Lakers kind of bounce back and play pretty well their last game. And you're seeing the Warriors take in some money. The Lakers open -4 at home. You're now seeing this line down to 3. The Warriors have won 3 straight. Lakers just had that big win over Portland their last time out. But this jumps out to me as a 8 o'clock primetime bet. Tons of money coming in, tons of action coming in. Yet, even though everyone's betting the Lakers, the line's falling down to Steph Curry. So if you would have loved to get at least a 3.5, but even now, Patrick Michael, the next move, does it go to 2.5? The way this is trending, it's been all towards Steph Curry and the Dubs in this one.
Michael, wow.
That's so remarkable that it, especially considering the Lakers kind of, you know, they get back Schroeder, which made them made them more effective the last time they went out and played when we were all laying the points and they just destroyed it. I forget who it was they played, but we were wrong on that one. So this is so volatile back and forth, up and down. You just never know what you're going to get. That to me is the NBA. I think the less NBA games you play, the better off you are. I really do. I think you got to pick one or two that you like and stay with it because it's just way too unpredictable for me.
It's like going to the pound and picking a dog. You have no clue what you're going to get. Keep the theme, fellas. Iowa, Ohio State. This is college hoops today. Both coming off rare losses, not rear losses. They're both behind them, too. 9 Iowa at 4 Ohio State here, Josh. Open Ohio State 2, getting bet a little bit up to 3.
Yeah, you're totally right, Patrick. So this one caught my eye. This is kind of one of those sharp plays that we saw a little bit. Reminds me of Arkansas yesterday and Texas Tech, where what you're seeing is a very, very heavily bet game. And it's kind of like, hey, I got to grab the points with Iowa here because look at both these teams, 17-7, ranked 9th in the country with Iowa. Ohio State, 18-6, ranked 4th in the country. So I think a lot of times with public bettors, if they just see two highly ranked teams, it's like, hey, it'll be close. Maybe one team wins. Give me the points. That's kind of the mentality when you see a lot of these ranked teams going head-to-head. But I think this is actually a really good spot to buy low on Ohio State. Ohio State's lost 2 in a row to really good teams, or at least Michigan, great team. They lost to Michigan State. Sharp play. Michigan State came through for wise guys last time. But guys, this one's important because, public, it's either split or leaning toward Iowa, yet all movement has been toward Ohio State. Ohio State opened at -2. They're all the way up to -3.5. Wow. If you shop around, you may find a 3 here. So that's also important. And then also, if you're a little worried about laying the points, you could look at a money line play here, guys. They're only -160 on the money line for Ohio State. We do have the system that we love, these Big Ten home favorites in conference play. Straight up, this is just straight up to win the game, 58-21, 73%. One X factor here, guys, Iowa, this 6'11 sophomore, his name is Jack Nungy. He's out for the year. He was a really good, I don't know if he was a sixth man or kind of a fifth starter, but he was a rotation guy, 7 points a game, 5 rebounds, but he's out. He hurt his knee. We have seen this line drop a little bit too to the total, 160 down to 157. So, Michael, what do you think? Two good teams, but it's tough. You know, Iowa on the road seems like a different kind of team, and Ohio State, after losing 2 in a row, Nungy out for Iowa. Would you look at playing Ohio State here, Michael?
I would. I think this is Ohio State's coming off of the disappointment against Michigan. And I think they're a better team. I don't trust Iowa on the road. Now, I know their defense has improved. They were in the bottom. They were the second worst team in the Big Ten defensively, but they've moved up a little bit. But I don't know if they have enough depth. And I think Ohio State is really a good team. I think Ohio State will play much better today. I just like them. I know it was a tough loss against Michigan State. I think Michigan State was one of those, those last dance games. We call them custard games here on the Lombardi line. And, the last two games, losing to Michigan, who's playing really well, and Michigan State, who's turned around, are not the worst thing. I think this is, for Ohio State, a game they have to send because they got Illinois. Well, they have Illinois next. They have Illinois next week. They got to win this one.
I'm going to make this very simple for those just joining. And when Josh says just go money line, what you're trying to do is mitigate risk as far as the spread. So you see the numbers in front of you. This is for new bettors. Money line is -160. You have to lay a bigger price. So $160 to win 100. That's what you're looking at. A 110 juice on the -3.5. Okay. So again, you're mitigating the risk by eliminating the point spread, but you have to lay more money to come back on the money line. Let's go the next one. Two hot teams, Michigan State and Maryland. Michael just mentioned Michigan State. Two top five wins over their last two. Incredible. Illinois and Ohio State, and they're getting bet in Maryland.
Yeah, you're exactly right here, Patrick. Some sharp money coming in on the Spartans, who, again, have really turned around their season. They were one of those blue bloods that was really struggling throughout the year, and really Izzo's got them playing well this time of year. You know, who would have thought that? I mean, he's been doing it for over 20 years. But Michigan State, they won three straight. Maryland won four straight, though. So this one's kind of tough for public bettors to, you know, who are you going to go with? Maryland's playing great. They actually had a big road win against Rutgers, 68-59. They were a 4.5-point dog. They won outright. But guys, the market is really telling us that Michigan State is getting hit here. So if you want to back the Spartans, this line actually opened at Maryland -3. It's kind of split, you know, in terms of ticket count. It's really not lopsided one way or the other. But yet we have seen this adjustment toward Michigan State. So the line's down to 2.5. It actually, at one point this morning or late last night, it actually got down to 2. So really all liability has been toward Michigan State. They would match as a road conference dog with a line move system. All liability's been in their favor. So if you can still find a 2.5, that's really kind of the best number you're looking at. And then also, guys, maybe an under opportunity, because total open 134, pretty low here. Yet we've seen it drop a little bit, 133.5. Public's hammering the over, saying these teams got to go over. It's super low total. But look at Maryland. They're one of the slowest paced teams in the country, 65.5, according to KenPom. Both teams are profitable to the under, 12-10, and the under is actually 7-2 the last 9 times these teams have played. So, Michael, what do you think? Are you rolling with Michigan State? They're playing well, or do you think Maryland is undervalued in this spot? And what do you think about the total?
I was going to bring up the under to you because if you look in the last history, the last 10 games these two played, the under has been the prevalent number, and no matter where they set it. And so I was looking at that. I mean, I thought it was a really low under. My first instinct was, oh, gosh, you got to play the over there. But the pace and the style, the way they play Maryland, I think it does favor that. But the one thing I will say, I think the Michigan State is the hot team right now. And I know going into Kohl Fieldhouse is hard, playing on the road, all that. But this Michigan State team, to me, they seem like they finally found their rhythm. I have a hard time going against them.
Let's sneak in another here. I know you've got Pitt and NC State on the board. Looks like NC State at home getting bet 6-7 here.
Yeah, so the big X factor here, guys, two teams trending in completely opposite directions. Pittsburgh in a tailspin. They've lost 4 straight. NC State has won 3 straight. NC State also beat Virginia, highly ranked team. They're +11.5. They won by 7 points. NC State is getting a move here. They open -6. They're up to 7.5. The key here, guys, is the fact that you have two really big opt-outs for Pittsburgh. Their number 2 scorer, Audice Toney, and their number 3 scorer, Xavier Johnson. They're both averaging about 14 points a game. They opted out. They're done. They're not going to play in this game, and they're going to leave the program. So these teams did meet about 2 weeks ago. It was a 74-73 win by NC State on the road at Pittsburgh, +4.5. But, guys, I think pros aren't really outsmarting themselves here. You got Pittsburgh in a tailspin, NC State playing well. Two top players for Pittsburgh are out here. Line move to NC State. And, guys, I know we're up against it, but, Michael, I got to throw this at you before we kick it to the break here. Little Des Moines money to keep an eye on. North Dakota State, South Dakota State. We're going all the way up to the Vermilion, South Dakota. I don't know if you've ever been there. The Sanford Coyote Sports Center. North Dakota State lost yesterday to South Dakota State. They're bringing it back today. It's a back-to-back revenge spot. Very sharp dog to favorite line move to North Dakota State. They went from +1 to now -1. And this would be a bounce back spot. So keep an eye on North Dakota State, Michael. And also, where's Trey Lance going? What do you think?
I don't know where Lance is going. We got to watch him play a little bit more. But that North Dakota State, Thomas Gable and I were already on that. He was thinking about that for his Des Moines pick. I was looking at that for the Caruso pick today. So we're already on that one. And by the way, Pitt and North Carolina State, just for anyone listening who wants to bet it, the last 10 times they played, NC State's 10-0 against Pitt.
There it is, Josh Applebaum. Tremendous update. Great job. Oh, look at the money.
Thanks, Josh.
Get it. That's Johnny.
Thanks, guys.
Johnny Manziel over there. We're going to come back in association with Jonathan Von Tobel. I mentioned the pound earlier. Of course, adopt, don't shop. Spay and neuter, shout to Bob Barker. We're coming back in 2-2. Lombardi line. Let's keep it going.